Hi, I'm Dmytro Švets, your host at the Start Global Insights, where I interview experts from different countries about local business secrets and international expansion experience. Today, my guest is Jorge Echeberre. He was an international sales manager at Rizobacter Argentina, an agricultural company producing bioinoculants. The main reason that I invited Jorge is that he has a lot of experience in expanding abroad from Argentina with this product, and also extensive experience in trade also within Argentina. So I hope that today Jorge will share his extensive experience with us. Hi, Jorge.
Well, how are you doing, Matt?
I'm pretty fine. Let's start our conversation probably with Rizobacter, yeah, and then its story. Could you tell several words about your experience there?
Okay. Well, I knew Rizobacter from when they founded it. It started in a garage of a house. Miguel Carman was the guy who started making his cars sleeping in the street, and inside of his garage, he started with the first machine to produce inoculants for soybean, and then other crops. Once I came back to Pergamino, the city where Rizobacter is located and where I used to live, I had a conversation with somebody, and they told me, "Well, you came back to Pergamino." I said, "Listen, I do international trade, and that's not easy to do in Pergamino. Not many companies do that from Pergamino." And this guy told me, "Why don't you speak with Rizobacter?" We say Ricardo Chapur, who was the CEO at that moment, and I knew him from years before he started in Rizobacter. I knew him, so I called him and I said, "Listen, I'm doing international trade, so if you need something from Buenos Aires, whatever you need from there, I'm living there, so maybe I can help you with something." And he told me, no, "I'm looking for an international sales manager because I want to grow the area, even if we are exporting naturally. We are talking about Brazil, Paraguay, Uruguay, Bolivia, and Venezuela, and the United States." That was what they have in those days, the distributors in those countries. So I decided to move back to Pergamino, and I started working in Rizobacter as sales manager.
If we take into account that all legal aspects should be done, that's for sure.
Yeah.
In terms of strategy, how did you and you have been selling to so many countries? How did you decide what would be your next countries and how many countries you could take at once?
Okay, mainly I was looking for the soybean area planted because that's one important thing because this product is for soybean mainly. Then you can use, it's a different strain, but you can also do it in beans, in peanuts, in other legumes. But our business was mainly in soybean. Our knowledge was for soybean. So, for example, Ukraine became important for me, very important, as in South Africa, that they were doing big amounts. And then I was looking for other countries like China or India. From Uruguay, they had grown over 12 million hectares. But when I went over there, I saw that the reality is that it is in kind of, let's say, 0.25% of 1 hectare in each person. So if you need a distribution over there, you need at least 20,000-30,000 of retailers to sell the product, and the packaging has to be so small that it's also impossible to handle. So I quit those countries very soon. But then the question is, how did I came into those countries? In both one, Ukraine and South Africa, we hired companies. For Ukraine was Start Global. It was my first contact with you and Max. And you did a great job with me because for me it was like, different country, different language. Not so different way to live. After several trips I did over there, I found that we are very close. We all like to eat very good, to drink very good, to work hard. And I mean, we are very, very similar in this case. And the way to live. So that's very important. But I'm going to tell the story because it's important. What you did for me is you did a first selection of 10 potential companies who could buy or resell our products over there to be our distributors. So we made a trip over there with the sales manager of the company, my boss at that moment, and we selected 3 of them. After that, you did a job of financial credibility, situation of banks, that gave us the security that was strong companies. From there, we selected one, and then we started selling with that company. Then on the long term, we had another customers and growth, but that was a real start over there. In the case of South Africa, it was almost the same. So we have a company from Argentina who got contacts in Africa, and they found for us this person that I selected as our distributor, and business became very good. But we couldn't make it in Kenya or Nigeria because very complicated countries, very hard to do business over there. You know, the way of thinking and a lot of things over there are so different that we couldn't make it. But then, I mean, we were in the United States. That also opened doors for us, like in Canada. It was easier to move from the United States to Canada. And then in the case of Europe, the Risobanker became partner of a company from France to manufacture fertilizer, micro-fertilizers. They became partners, and they did together a plant in Pergamino.
You used their distribution network to sell in Europe.
Yeah, and they were our distributors. So then they helped us a lot with the registration because France is really hard on that.
Yeah, so many countries. What was the most difficult country in your expansion?
Let's say, for example, Japan. I went over there and I tried to contact a cooperative who was already manufacturing inoculants. So I told them through Syngenta people, and Syngenta is very well known all around in the books. And the answer of this cooperative was, if you have somebody in your company working already who can speak Japanese, you can come and have a meeting with us. Of course, that was impossible. I mean, it was a way to tell me, I don't want you here. That was really hard. And then, let's say that traveling to Nigeria was no easy, mainly when you are white and you look European or American, as you do, as I do. The first stages are really hard until I show my passport that was from Argentina, and they love football, Maradona, Messi. So, well, that also saved my life a couple of times with the army over there, just showing my passport. They were ready to shoot me, and I said, okay, you're from Argentina, you're a friend. So that's a very complicated country. And then plus bureaucracy, and, you know, 50% of the country is Muslim, 50% Catholic, big fights between them. Depending where you go, where you have to move. It's only a couple of hotels where you can stay safe and sure, very expensive and not good hotels. But anyway, the only place that when you know that they're not going to shoot you. Even I have friends over there. I like people over there, but they are, you know, too much talking, and nothing happens. So I did like 6 trips over there, and they got it. Then, I don't know, each one has a different story from having Turkey. When we went over there, we started to do business, and every trip I went over there, first question was, give me a discount. But you have to know Turkish people. They always do that. Is the way they are. I say, no, I'm not going to give you a discount. At least if you get some goals, we can talk about that. But let's move the invoicing first, and then we'll talk about it. But it was every trip, even I got very friend of them, they was laughing at the end, but it's the way they are. You have to know that, you have to fight with that. Then I was in Australia. I had a couple of contacts, but didn't work. And then it was easy in Austria, in Germany. My country was really easy to work. Italy, we started very slow. The person who was distributing the product was a great guy. I loved him, but was a very good buyer. he got the best prices I ever did in my life. So that's why he was like a star, and I love him. He always was shopping with me and say, "We buy it and you sell it, we can make a good company." He always say that. He was a good friend. And then, again, depends on the countries and depends on the involved, because I wasn't alone all the time. After that, when I started opening the selector of different countries, I was putting an engineer from our country in each country as a manager. And they was, in some cases, they hired more people. For example, in Ukraine, we hired one person who used to be sales manager of the company, big friend again.
The biggest secret of your sales is to make friends, not just selling, but making friends with local people.
Well, you have to. You must empathy with the people. When you travel around the world, you're going to see that the face is not the company. I mean, even Argentina is well known because of the agriculture and everything. People is going to trust you, not your company, because they don't know it. They are going to know you. So the person who is going to travel not only has to be the owner of the company, maybe somebody who can make better empathy with the people and make friends, get a good relationship. That's, you know, for me, it's the best way to sell. I always say the same. You can be upset with the people and work and have good results, and you can work and be happy, enjoy, and you're going to get better results always. For sure, because the other person feels comfortable for you. Then when we started invoicing bigger amounts, I mean, when I started, the invoicing of the company was in export $2.5 million. When I left after 3 years, we were in around $65, $70 million. And so the company was growing and growing and investing. The secret is this company always was taking risk, but the main thing is that all the profit was reinvested in the company. Mm-hmm. I mean, the owners didn't become billionaires. The money went to the company to grow and go and grow. When I started, it was like 70 employees, something like that, 60, 70 employees. And when I left, it was almost 450, 500. So I don't know now. With 6 years, I already left. So probably more. And 50% of that profit was invested in research and development to get better roads, to improve the quality. And on this side, you have to keep growing the production, you know, bigger machinery, bigger plants. And another important thing is about pricing. That's where we were selling different prices in different countries, really different. I mean, like 10 times different between one and the other. But the point is that I knew that I had the best product on the market, or maybe, I don't know, can say the best, but I could say that nobody was better than us. So I knew that. So I always positioned my product in other countries at the best price, at least the same price that the best competitor had, no less than that, because it's a big difference between being competitive and being comparative. When you become competitive, you're going to put your prices down every day because you are in a competition. But if you are comparable, you are similar to the other one, and then you go your value, all the other things that you have inside of a product, like the packaging, like the chassis time, always commit your word, always never lie. The worst thing you can do in international business is make a lie. In some moment, it's going to appear, and you're going to lose the business from one moment to the other one, because when you live thousands of miles and different cultures and different languages, all is about trust. It's no other thing. So you have to be always very serious and commit everything.
So in fact, you are selling not the product, you are selling the partnership. Yeah, and the value in the product is about the people that you're talking, the relationship that you're making, all the package together.
Yeah. And another thing that all the manufacturers should know, because sometimes they are looking that the distributor is making too much money. That's a big mistake. Let them make all the money they can. Now your product is going to become very important. I never question if our distributor could sell it more expensive and doesn't went down in the invoicing for me. That's okay. Make all the money you can. Never touch that, because the other people has to live. I have to live okay, I have to make a lot of money. So that's all right. Don't because most of the people I knew before, they said, no, but he's making like 40%, 50%, that's too much, because I could make more money if I sell more expensive. Said, that's wrong. That's wrong. Let them make money, and they're going to be happy with you.
Yeah, this is what I tell to my students and clients, that you are not selling the product, you are helping the distributor or your foreign partner to earn more together with you. So if they earn more in a comfortable and reliable way, then they are with you. So this is the value, not the product itself.
No, that's right. That's right. Because we're talking about business. I mean, any company that is in the market, it's because they want to make money. If not, you are not going to be a company. I mean, as we want to do it, but our customers too. So that's all right. And the good thing about our product is that we could offer to the farmers a relationship between investment and incoming in like 10 to 1. I mean, you invest $1, you're going to get back at least 10. And we could show that. Okay? So people... they wanted to use the product, but use it, and it's biological, it's green, and a lot of stuff that made me easy the things. I mean, it's not that I'm a genius. We have the best product in the market, green product, biology. I have everything like in a tray for me. I mean, it was not that hard. I shall have to drink with my customers, and that's it.
And you needed to travel a lot, yeah? So I remember you told me that you were like traveling around the world each year, starting with Argentina. And then
I spent 50% of my days outside of the country. I was traveling like 43 countries and several times each one, looking for business. But that was my job. And they paid me for that. Even if I was traveling and knowing people and having fun and sleeping in book hotel,
Yeah. So let's summarize that. So to be successful in international market, you need to have a very good product, invest in R&D, be unique and of a very good quality. Then you need to analyze the whole world and select the best countries to focus on. Then you need to understand the business cultures and the marketing and all the game rules in these countries. Find a local reliable partner that will find you the clients. And then consistently develop personal relationship, giving value and possibility to earn money with you and your product to your distributors in these countries. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's perfect. That's a summary. Good summary. And another thing I didn't say before, you've got to be strong in your country with your product before you decide to export. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're not good in your country, probably you're not going to be good outside, for sure. Not probably. You have to be strong in your market with your product, so you know it, you learn, you have the ability, the capacity, and you have the money to invest, because again, to export is not that hard. It takes time and money, and you have to invest. And until you start making real business and getting money back, the first steps are more complicated, because you need a support on money and time, capacitation in your company. So first of all, try to be strong in your country, and then you decide to export.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, good. And on this point, I would like to go back to Argentina and to understand how to enter this country with products or services. So, for example, Ukrainian furniture company would like to enter Argentinian market. What would be your advice on the roadmap, how to do that?
Okay, actually, we are in a complicated moment, probably about it, and in December, we had a new president. We turned from populism during 20 years. Now, we began somebody to be changing all the rules, and he goes to the other side. So, it looks that at least inflation is coming down, so you should know that we had in January 25% on the month of inflation. Now, it's around 4%. still complicated. I mean, Argentinian people is used to this. They can survive over there. But probably someone from outside can understand the way we do it. But as in other countries, you have to find the right people. It's a lot of trustable people. And some of them are not, like in other countries of the world. So you have to take care. Probably find somebody local who can advise you about these people. Today, the net helps a lot. I mean, you go to the internet, you find a company, you can see this history, how long are they in the market, how many people they have working, a lot of information that on my day, when I grew up, we had no TV in my country. So the change for me was so big. But anyway, internet helps on that to give you some strategies. A lot of people speak English in Argentina. Argentina people is educated. I mean, the education is free in all the levels. You can become a doctor without putting one coin. Everything is on the government. Mm-hmm. You can choose the prepaid, but still the rest universities belong to the government and they're free. Normally what you haven't seen in the news is that a big problem with security we're having, but that happens in all the world. Just the insecurity sells more than security. So you don't see it that often. Even in the big Buenos Aires, you have to take care. It's not easy to move in there. But in the city of Buenos Aires and inside of the country, it's not that hard. It's not like in any country of the world. Just that you have to know that there are times or hours and places where you don't have to be. That happens all around the world. I mean, you're not going to go to the Bronx at 2 o'clock in the morning at night because you won't go back. You are talking about New York. That happens all around the world. Even in France, you have some neighborhoods where you don't have to be. That's all around the world. So that's not a big deal. But again, Argentinians, as in all parts of the world, you have to find the right people. And you ought to make that through a company like York, for example, that you have contacts all around the world. I mean, if somebody asks you about furniture, you can contact me and I can tell you, go and see this and that. And that's a big help. Mm-hmm. And then you have to make a trip, see the country, try to study a little bit about the policies and regulations and all that stuff. And then, again, something that I learned in the international studies I did for international sales is that even if you do a contract like a book, if you don't have the partnership and the trust in the other person, it won't work. It's no way to win an international judge. But how do you call it?
If you go to court?
Even you have the best contract, lawyers always are going to find something to screw you. So the contract has to be very simple, one page, just telling what you are telling to the guy and what he is telling to you. And that's it. All the other stuff, lawyers are going to find a way to destroy it. So it's not going to do a perfect contract internationally. And then always you should start with payment ways that has to be your prepaid. Or let's say you can make, 50% of payment when I deliver and 50% when the goods arrives and I send you the papers and you retire them. Or LC, credit letters. That has a good value, confirm it, but better tell me all that stuff. It's international ways to insurance the payments. And well, after some time, 2-3 years, you start working on credit or whatever is needed.
If you would like to find a proper distributor in Argentina, what there is, apart from the internet, how would you search it additionally? For example, maybe there is chambers of commerce.
There are chambers of everything in Argentina. You know, we are a bureaucratic country, so everybody who can join a handful of people, they create a chamber. So you have chambers of everything, whatever you want. You know that we manufacture cars. And so it's also the embassies sometimes can help you. Your embassy in Argentina, they normally have a commercial person working on that. They can help you. I use some embassies, but that you have to be lucky. Depends on the person. I mean, I had big help in some people in some countries from our embassy. And other countries, it was a disaster. So it depends on the person that you're going to meet over there. But embassies could help a lot to find solution to your problems.
Okay. A lot of cultures, yeah? So you traveled a lot. If you would compare that to Argentinian business culture, how would you characterize the local culture, business culture in Argentina? What one should pay attention to?
Well, I think that is very similar than Ukraine. You have to take care about the people you are meeting to be sure that you are in the right way to find that information. You work it for us about the financial and banks and everything. And that's it. After you find the right people, things go very small. And again, Argentina is very similar to Ukraine. You can find one side or the other. Mm-hmm. But also, not only Ukraine and Argentina, even in the United States, it could happen to you. You're going to find somebody that's going to screw you in 10 minutes. I mean, you have to take care of that, find the right people.
How big is the level of trust between people? Is it, because, for example, in my experience, if you go to Turkey, for example, or even in Ukraine, first people do not trust, then you should do something to earn this trust. Yeah. And in case of, for example, of Sweden, the trust level is very high. So they first trust you until you will make some mistake. Yeah. So what is the situation in Argentina?
I think there is in between. I mean, many people don't trust you because Argentinian people is open on mine, but depends where you came from. I mean, you know, that things that I put into your head, that if somebody comes from the United States of America, you trust them. Somebody comes from Switzerland, you say, or Austria, Germany, you trust them. And they can screw you anyway. And if somebody coming from Ukraine, okay, let's take a look. To me, when I travel around the world, this guy coming from Argentina, let's see. They have to test me first. But anyway, I think that we are in similar level, but Argentina is more open.
And you have been talking about Turkey, for example, as a culture of negotiation in terms of bargaining. Yeah, so you need to discount. What is the negotiation culture in Argentina? Is it do you have to talk a lot about some neutral stuff and then come to business? What about bargaining and transparency or hidden agenda behind the talk?
Normally, you have to be prepared to talk. You have to be sure what are you talking about. I mean, the people is going to be looking at you if you are saying the truth or not. So you have to be prepared for that. I mean, it's not just calling and talking and drinking. I mean, you have to be ready to answer a lot of questions. So you have to know your product very well. And in Argentina, it's not that bargaining us. Not as hard as Turkey, or if they are going to. Argentinian is more like crying always. I have no money, the situation is bad, you have to understand my country, and we have problems here. That's more an Argentinian. You know, if they're using farmers all around the world, they always cry because if it's raining, maybe it's going to rain too much. If it's not raining, we'll have a drought. If it comes the snow, and they're always complaining. And Argentina lives on farming. So people is like that. You have to be ready to understand that a person can do great business with you, but it's always you going to say that because of the government and regulations and the taxes and this and that. That's typical from Argentina. But it's not like bargain. It's not the same thing.
And how about the language? Do you need to speak Spanish to have the negotiations or have a translator?
No, you can use English, or you can find in your embassy translators from Ukrainian to Spanish. Usually, another thing we did that I didn't tell you that was very, very good for us is bringing people from the new countries to visit Argentina. We did an agreement with the distributors that the resorter pay all the costs in the country, hotels, food, traveling, whatever is needed. And the distributor or the farmers, they pay the ticket of the plane. We were bringing between 15, 20, 40 people from each country every year. I mean, it was several times. I mean, we did it from Ukraine, South Africa, because when they see the company, they really trust you. So a good advice to people who is going to work for me, they have a nice facility, bring people, treat them like kings during 7 days, is not that expensive. And good food, good hotel, show your company, show your family, take their farm, people talk with them. And in those cases, I used to hire some translators to Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be the same because always you do something, but at least you can communicate. If not, a lot of people speak English in Argentina.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And what about the decision-making process? Usually it is like a quick style, or it is more like a consensus and they should discuss a lot and then come back to discuss it more?
Argentina is more than a long process, medium to medium long. Yeah, it's not easy to make decisions for them, to trust, to believe, to. So you have to go and go and go, you know, like putting the foot on the door, as used to be this booksellers. But you have to be there. You have to go one, two, three times. It's not a short term. It's not going to be easy to get somebody to say, okay, you are offering me this, I don't know, chair, and I'm going to buy it, one container from you.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not
going to happen. So it is like step-by-step acquaintance. Yeah, so you need to be prepared for the long-term investment to sell to the country.
And again, if you feel that you find the right people, the proper people after a couple of trips and meetings and everything, invite them to your country.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to make a difference. When you see your company, your facility, the way you are, the way you live, that's made things very, very easy.
Coming back to Argentina. Yes. So many people think that all Latin countries that speak Spanish, so you are like connected to Spain. Yeah. How close is the culture between Argentina, for example, and Spain? And is it possible to use Spanish distributors, or if you entered Spain as a first market, then expand to Argentina?
Yeah, it's easier because it's a big relationship. Yes, Argentina, 50% of the population becomes from Spanish people and 50% from Italian people. So even Italy or Spain can be used as a bridge to get into Argentina. Argentina in business, number one is with Brazil, international business, I mean. Number two is United States. Number three is Spain. So it's very important. It's a lot of them. All the fishing in the south of Argentina is managed by Spanish people. And it's a lot of culturally, we came from there. Well, we have also people from Ukraine, from Germany, from England. They did all the railroads a long time ago, so most of them stay living in Argentina. It's people from several countries. But Argentina is that. We call it in Spanish, crisol de raza. That means like a mix of different parts of the world. Also, it's a big country, north to south. We have 5,500 kilometers. So it's a very big difference in the climate. I mean, if you go to the north, it's always hot and people is very slow over there. I remember I took an American once and he told me, how people can walk that slow when we enter on the company? And after half an hour inside, he told me, how people can walk here because it's like 5 degrees inside of the factory. So you have to understand that. And then you go to the south, we have Patagonia, but it's snowing, it's cold, and you get all the Andes where you have a lot of minery, and now the oil and the shale gas is coming up like crazy. And we have number 30 in lithium, so if somebody wants to invest in batteries for the cars and everything, it's number 3 in the world in the reserves of lithium. We got gold, we got plate, but the country is in bankruptcy. You don't ask me why, because we are very strong in farming. We export like 10 times what we consume in Argentina. So we do 10 times more, and we export a lot. We have like over around 50 million cows, and then we have land, we have pork, we have fishery, whatever you
can imagine, yeah.
It's a side we have that after God finished the war, he saw that he gave so many things to Argentina that he decided to put inside the Argentinians to compensate all the other countries.
The last question to you, Jorge. Okay. What would be your advice to exporters to Argentina?
Just work for a company like yours, or one in Argentina, that can do a good selection for you of the company that you have to sell. Look at the market, look at the competition. Again, today with the internet, it's very easy. You can see pricing. Which I think in Argentina, the income is different. Normally in other countries, we're talking around 40% from the sales price for the distributor. In Argentina, probably is less than that. But when you see a retail price, probably you have to take 20-25% down to know what's. But normally, if you depends on the chain you are going to use. I mean, if you go to importer and from the importer you go to the distributor and then the distributor go to the retailer and then you got the final price, so you have to take like 50%, 60% of the last price. But that's something that any entrepreneur should know. I mean, how to find the real position of your goals in the market. And be sure that your product is going to be needed in the country where you're going to sell, even in Argentina. You don't have a big competitor that makes things locally, because probably they have already a big structure to sell. For example, with Solater, guys like 100 salespeople on the streets every day. And maybe 300, 500 of retailers. So if you want to compete with them, it's not going to be easy because they are strong in the market for the last 25, 30 years. So just take a note of that details and you won't find a way. Anyway, all the means can be done is just time, money, and capacitation.
And patience.
Patience, that's
great, Jorge. Thank you very much. Muchas gracias for our conversation and all the experience that you shared.